Just to recap, from verses 1 to 4, you find Sutta begins describing the relevance of the sages' inquiries. Because they are about Krishna, and then he stresses the importance of the process of self-realization and the goal, which is devotional service to Krishna. So that's from verse 1 to 4. Then from 5 to 10, he further explains that Krishna is the absolute truth and one must satisfy him by devotional service. Okay. So in verses 1 to 4, the point is, by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from a pure devotee, spiritual master, our modes of passion and ignorance is gradually slackened. Okay? And then when that slackens, you develop your eternal relationship with Krishna or Rasa. Okay? So if this is the goal, then why should we divert our mind to anything else? So that's the emphasis in 1 to 4. Okay. Then from 5 to 10, to achieve perfection. How do we achieve perfection? So that's what is emphasized. To achieve perfection, Sutta Goswami explains that you should need to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a pure devotee, a bona fide pure devotee. Because we can only be satisfied by becoming Krishna conscious or a pure lover of Krishna. Yayatma supersedati, completely satisfied. And therefore we should reject useless activity not directed towards anything that doesn't awaken Krishna consciousness. Okay? So that's 5 to 10. So let's just continue reading. Text 8. Dharmaha swanisthita pumsam vishvakshena kathasuya notpadayadyadi ratim shramayevahi kevalam. The occupational activities a man performs according to his own position are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the personality of Godhead. So we can have so many different kinds of occupations. But all these occupations are meant for satisfying the senses. Yeah, basically that's what all these occupations are for. And Sutta Goswami says, if they are just for that, then they are useless. Because the Jivatma's position is to be servant of the Supreme Lord. So if he cannot come to that point in doing any activities within this material world, then it's all useless. Because then he has to come back and take birth again. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, yeah, it's very nice. Nothing beyond the senses, he says. Everything is done for the body and nothing beyond the senses. Therefore, his occupational activities are limited to concentrated and extended selfishness. So concentrated means ourselves. Extended is? Yes, society, nation, world. Earth, planet. Okay. Now, this is for someone who is on the bodily concept. Now, above them, Srila Prabhupada says, are the mental speculators. So, from the body, it goes to the mind, okay? Who hover aloft in the mental spheres. And the occupational duties involve making poetry, philosophy, or propagating some ism with the same aim of selfishness limited to the body and the mind. But above the body and mind is the dormant spirit soul whose absence from the body makes the whole range of bodily and mental selfishness completely null and void. See? Very powerful sentence that is. If you don't have that soul, then all these things are useless. So that's what, how he connects it back to the, this statement. Dharma, shama eva hi kevalam. Yeah. Okay, it's only useless labor. Because if you study in Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter, right, Krishna gives the in the gross nature, he says, Bhumi, apo anulo vayur, kam evam. Okay, so you can see that 8 elements are there. And then higher than the mind is, higher than intelligence is, false, higher than that is the soul. So ultimately, we are supposed to be working for the needs of the soul, not for the other things, because the real person is the soul. Okay? So if you don't do that, then everything is practically useless. And when you want to deal with the soul, then the soul has a connection with the Supreme Personality of God. And that is what our real aim of life is, to re-establish that relationship. So therefore, Prabhupada says, less intelligent people have no information of the needs of the spirit soul. That means if you don't act for the spirit soul, you are actually not really intelligent. You can have good karma, you can be the most intelligent person in the world. What is that guy, Hawkins? Stephen Hawkins? He materially, he may be, but if you look at this, he is one of the most less intelligent person.
Statement, it is not necessary to understand God.
Yes. Now he keeps changing every fear. He's going senile, I think. Yeah, I think so. Too intelligent, that's why I cannot surrender. That's the other problem. Too intelligent, you cannot surrender. Because foolish people have no information of the soul and how it is beyond the purview of the body and mind, they are not satisfied in the performance of their occupational duties. The question of the satisfaction of the self is raised herein. The self is beyond the gross body and subtle mind. He is the potent, active principle of the body and mind. So when the soul is not in the body, it is dead. Without knowing the need of the dormant soul, one cannot be happy simply with emolument of the body and mind. So decorations of the body and mind is not going to help, you know. Or you try to think, you know, philosophize, make your mind active, still you cannot be happy. Why? Because both the body and the mind are but superfluous outer coverings of the spirit soul. The spirit soul's needs must be fulfilled. Then you become happy. Supersedati. Yayatma supersedati. Simply by cleansing the cage of the bird, one does not satisfy the bird. One must actually know the needs of the bird himself. So they had a drama, I think you all have seen, polish the cage and then finally the bird inside dies. It's like that, you know. You take care of the external body, you go for Botox and everything, but you can't get Krishna. Isn't it? It's very popular. Huh? Very popular. But it's ugly also, no? They only do the face, right? And then you see all the skin here all crinkled and so what does Krishna say about this in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna? I say, what does Krishna say about this to Arjuna? Huh? In the battlefield of Kurukshetra. What does Krishna say? Yeah, face left. Yeah, it's true. What does he say? No. Huh? Yeah, he said, you're lamenting, but what does he say actually? He said, let Bhishma and Drona die. Yeah. They will get new body. Better, you don't need all this Botox. Yes, naturally. It's all there, the answer is all there. Why go through all this waste of time, spend so much money? then it will probably only last few weeks or maybe months. Maybe.
Sometimes it goes wrong.
Oh yeah.
And then they don't come out.
Actually, Michael Jackson.
Yeah, from a human being he became like an animal. No? He looks like a monkey or something. And then finally look how he died. No? The guy put so much some anesthesia or whatever and killed the guy. That's what happens when you don't know what you should be working for, the soul or the body. And when you're so worried about the body and all, look what happened. All the money didn't help. Walt Disney, when he died, he put his body in a freezer. So then he said, in future someone can revive him. But his family members pulled the plug on it. Yeah, they went to court and they said, this is ridiculous, he's dead, and why we keep him? So now,
Larry King?
He wants to be. So you can understand, no? If you want a younger body, then just die and you'll come back. If you understand this philosophy, it's so easy. Don't worry about all this. Isn't it? If you want a beautiful body, then you do pious activities. Yeah, then you go to heavenly planet and you have nice, beautiful body, enjoy sense enjoyment, then come back and suffer. Then, that's how it is. You have to suffer. This Madhya Loka is for suffering. Huh? Isn't it? Krishna says that different lokas, hellish planet is punishment, Madhya Loka is for dying. It says that. Mritya Loka, Madhya Loka is dying. You come here to die. Then, because in heaven planets there's no death, right? You just fall. Isn't it? You fall and then shooting star. Just fall down and then come in the rain, into the grain, then into the womb and then get impregnated. No, into the men and into the womb, yeah. So it's there. Krishna says everything. So, and therefore he laughs at Arjuna when he says about, oh, I don't want to kill. And he said, why are you worrying? He's so old now. Let him die. If you kill him, it's okay. He'll get better birth. Because the science of the soul makes that conclusion that he'll come back in a better body. So when you don't have, this is what happens. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada says. Yeah.
People don't have patience to go through till the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Let's talk about chapter 2, some basics, like we are not the body, we are the soul. Yes, I got the needed information, especially in Discover Yourself class. After the third class, they'll say, I have enough information. It's good.
No, because such people actually cannot handle the truth. Yeah. But again, you know, you can hold, by showing affection, they will come just to be with you. Not so much the philosophy. And later on, because of association, then their heart will get sufficiently purified because of association. Then they will hear properly. But if you lose, then you have to question yourself also. Why did they leave, you know? Did I do something wrong? And maybe they may not be able to listen, but you can visit them.
Yeah, no, that's still friendly with us. Yeah. Helping the services, yeah. And all that.
Yeah.
But this is too much.
Yes, that's right. It's too much for them. The knowledge is too much. Because they rather suffer in their body than to get out of it. Too painful for them at this moment. Yeah. Yeah. So because they are so covered with the senses and sense enjoyment, it's very hard for them to give it up, actually. They are addicted to enjoying. Like drugs, you know. People who are in drugs, it's very hard to give up. So they need to go through so much purification, suffer like anything, then they are giving up. And even then, they can fall back. Because there's no?
Higher taste.
Higher taste, yeah. So when you preach, the higher taste must be there. And so a lot of times we think we are very great preachers. We are not great preachers. Actually, you give them something, you give some prasadam, be nice to them. That's all you have to do. Like Krishna and Srila Prabhupada preach to them. So give them a book. Let them read. Then when they are ready, they can take up the study process. And you can encourage, but don't force people to do it. Because ultimately one day they can turn to you and say, you forced me into this. You made me do this. They will say, no? I never knew you made me this. Anyway, you know, main thing, important thing is, you are not the body. You are the soul, and there is a difference between them. So at the end of that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes, even if he goes up to Swargaloka, he will find no permanent abode for his hankering soul. The hankering soul must be satisfied by the perfect scientific process of perfect devotional service. Text 9.
Oh, I have a question. Say, as an aspiring devotee, say if I am reading something or hearing something, I also go through times where I am uncomfortable because it's hard to accept or hard to apply. So how to keep the strength in that situation?
When you say you hard to accept, that means having accepted and taking initiation. It's like this, you know, when you progress up to a certain point, there shouldn't be doubts behind.
No, not in not in terms of doubts of the philosophy.
Then?
But say there is self-darshan, like by reading something, some things about one, like, you know, my own nature will become evident to me.
Okay.
And then I see that, okay, I need to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but that moment is a little hard at that time. To accept that, hey, I need to fix this. Then there is some denial. And then I also know that if I don't work on it now, this will stay because I lose track of this because there are so many other things that will keep
happening. Yeah. But that's the first thing. You at least you accept it, no?
Well, I don't know how many times things have come and I haven't noticed it. But
yeah, then you need to really pray to Krishna. You remember I was saying sometimes we keep doing the same foolish things. Again and again, and then you tell yourself, okay, I won't do it anymore. And then a few hours later, you're doing the same silly thing. Then, no, I won't do it. Then you stop for one day, and the second day you do the same stupid thing. You know. So then that means you have a very strong karma or something like that, anartha, that is pulling you down. And a devotee's mercy, you ask for devotee's mercy, and you pray to Krishna to please help me get rid of this anartha. Sometimes on your own you're not going to get rid. Actually, we are on our own, we cannot go back to Krishna. It's a mercy. So anything that we make progress is based on mercy of pure devotees. So you reveal your mind, Guyam Vakya Prikshati. So you reveal your mind to an advanced devotee, not to some new bhakti nava, then she'll tell the whole world, no? It's true. You all have to figure this out. Someone confidential who can help you, who you found can always help you. Then you reveal, at least taking that out of your heart will ease you to some extent. And then the other thing is find a way to purify that aspect of your anartha. There is solution for every anarthas. It's not that there isn't. But you need to know which anartha, how you do. Like you don't like somebody, then envious of somebody, then the Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you go and serve them. It's tough, but you have to serve. And if you know that's the solution, then you start. First time you start, you don't want to look at them, but you serve. No? But after a few days, you look at them and serve. So that means you're getting better at it. Yeah?
So this requires some determination also.
Everything requires determination.
Bhaktivinoda Maharaj calls it as conscious change.
Yeah.
The spiritual one.
Yeah.
But if you know that you lack something, you consciously try to work.
You have to. If you can't, then you have to pray for the mercy to come. Sometimes you cannot do it yourself. So you write to your Guru Maharaj or someone you feel is guiding you properly. You know, sometimes people have counselor position, but they may not be able to guide you properly also. Title is one thing, but to actually save the soul is another thing. So it's very important that whenever, even you yourself, you're guiding new people, you have to ask yourself, I'm giving this instruction, is it really going to help this person? Or is it just a temporary band-aid? Sometimes it's very hard to help someone in a particular problem. So then what do you do? Yeah, you refer them to someone else who can handle that. It's better that way. Say, I can't deal with this. Yeah. But all of us have to look at, so that's going inside ourselves and say, I have these anattas. That's the first thing, is to recognize the anattas. Then the other thing is to act on it. Yeah? And that's important. We all have to do that. All of us have to do that. Otherwise, we are not a truthful devotee. Yeah, it's not truthful. Okay, text 9. Dharmasya hi apavargasya nato artayopakalpate nartasya dharma kantasya kamulava yahi smrite. Labha means gain. All occupational engagements are certainly meant for ultimate liberation. So that means even if you do karmakanda activities, it must come to this point. That's what it is. They should never be performed for material things. So even in any ashram you are, any activities we do, every activities must bring us to the point of surrender to Krishna. Furthermore, according to sages, one who is engaged in the ultimate occupational service should never use material gain to cultivate sense gratification. So once you are in the path of pure devotional service, don't use the position for sense enjoyment. Yeah. Very interesting. Okay, let me just check some. So, one with the higher spiritual goals shouldn't actually pursue material things. That's what this statement is actually. If you already know this is the highest thing in life, then the question is, why are you then going after a mundane thing? The thing is, a lot of us hide behind this thing, oh, I have family to take care, responsibility. But it very clearly says that, you know.
Artificial shelter.
Yes.
So once one devotee came up to Madhumar and said, Maharaj, I purchased this new land. He said, okay, write it on the name of his con.
So when you are dedicated for a higher path, then it shouldn't be thinking about amassing material wealth. That's the other point in this statement. It shouldn't be there. That shouldn't be the goal actually. Because it's going to overwhelm us if you are not on a pure standard. Even Srila Prabhupada is very careful in dealing with all this money and land and so on. He'll always let somebody deal and then he'll just tell them, do it this way, that way. Yeah. So it's very important to understand this principle properly. So, occupational engagements are there, but they should be done for elevation, not for any other reason. So, you have duties as a parent, duties as a teacher, duty as a different, you know, warrior, whatever. All those should be done. But, because you are doing it in the name of service to Krishna. And that's because I'm doing it as a duty. I have to do it because if I don't do, then who's going to take care of these things? You know. So those duties must be done for that. But not do it for name, fame, position and all. That's not the reason this statement is saying. They should never be performed for material gain. Never. Narto arto yupakalpati. Not for that reason. That's not what it is.
Before becoming a devotee, someone has a desire to do like higher education, and after so after becoming a devotee, if they pursue that, is it considered like this? Like
it depends on each individual, no? if that desire is so strong and it's going to stop you from performing devotional service, better you go and finish your study. So generally anyone who wants to come, I always tell them, you finish your degree before you talk. If they want to move to ashram, I don't allow them. Because chances are 5 years, 10 years, they want to get married and they'll blame ISKCON for not allowing them to get a job, and then you're not supporting me. They'll come like that. So better you get your degree, everything, then you want to surrender, yeah, we can train you. Yeah.
If it is not that strong, we should see how we can use it.
Yeah, otherwise what is the point?
Why it's needed?
Yeah. What's the point in going for higher education? What's the value? How does it benefit the society? How does it benefit your Krishna consciousness? You know. Generally we do it because it benefits our ego, no? Right? Isn't it? If somebody speaks nicely to us, we think that is great, no? But if somebody says something bad, then we think that is not good. So, things that we do is because we feel good. But it may not be good for spiritual life. And anything materially you do is only temporary. So therefore, what is the value, actually? Unless that is going to enhance your spiritual thing or preaching or whatever. Yeah, then you do that.
So, I don't know if you can ask this question. It's like, he's already some Krishna Maharaj. Like, after becoming a devotee, he persuaded, like, degree, right?
Mm.
So, how should we understand?
Well, then you have to know what he was doing, right?
I don't know.
He was trying to promote Srila Prabhupada, mm-hmm. to accept on the academy level. Mm. So, he was showing people how Srila Prabhupada has taken the Vedic knowledge and presented it to the world. That was his main goal behind it, yeah. Unless you know the intent of a devotee clearly, then you may make mistakes and find faults there. But that was the intention. Because the academic world doesn't know the Hare Krishna Acharya. By establishing Srila Prabhupada as a foremost Vaishnava Acharya in this age, then you get recognized. Right? Then everyone will say, oh, ISKCON, yeah, ISKCON is recognized. You know, like the Catholic Church and so on. So that was the intention. Yeah. Okay, so and even if you get a lot of material things, you shouldn't use it for. Yeah, that's the other thing, because your karma may be very good, no? But some people are very fortunate. Lakshmi just walks every time they go anywhere. They open the door, Lakshmi walks in. Like that. So there are people like that, right? You've seen that. So that means they shouldn't be using it for foolish things. Yeah, but rather it should be used for service to Krishna. So that's their point here. Eh? That is very important. So, 5 to 10. Eh? So, one more verse.
Here, Amritananda Prabhu is so nicely using the Lakshmi that formed him for serving devotees.
Yeah, then you all should tell him that. Alright, text 10. Kamasya nindriya priti labo jiveta yavata jivasya tarva jignasa natoyas cheha karmagi. Life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. Since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth, nothing else should be the goal of one's works. Very clear statements. Huh? So if you do something, you can, so take care of your health is important. Srila Prabhupada quotes from Chanaka Pandit. So if you owe people money, debt, disease and fire. These three things you should quickly act to get rid of it. So you should work. So one should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation. If you owe somebody money, then you become incumbent to serving them. They will control you. And if there's a fire in the house, if you don't do anything about it, you lose everything. Yeah, disease you take care of, your body health. Yeah. So your desire, if you have good desires, it should not be towards enjoying your senses. Because sense enjoyment is temporary. And it's not permanent, whatever we do. It doesn't give anyone, if you even if you have someone's sense gratification, it is only entrapping them in the modes of material nature. And therefore you are actually not doing them any help.
Supposing we have like all of most of us have houses here.
So don't burn it.
Regarding the debt.
Yeah.
We cannot do it quickly. Mm. It takes 20-30 years, whatever. So how
long? Yeah, so don't go into those debts then. Anyway, these are things you all have to figure out, you know. Point in the situation, the world is like that. So the society is actually cheating everyone. So they've set up the system where you owe money, right? If you don't owe any money, then your credit is down, isn't it? If you owe people money, then your credit is good. So ridiculous.
When I came to you, that's the one thing I didn't really understand.
Don't try to understand.
The credit system is useless.
No, it's a cheating process.
Consumer economy.
Yeah. It's a cheating process.
Otherwise, we won't work for that many years.
Yes.
So they want us to work for the economy.
Yeah. No, not really for economy. For their own.
For their banks.
Yeah. It's all nice terminologies they use to say consumerism, this, that, but it's all cheating.
It's freedom.
Basically, you are bonded to all these companies and everything. Same thing, insurance, everything. It's all just to make you work until you die.
That's why you cannot, like, the rate of return is also low.
Yeah, I mean, how can a person so old, 65, 70 years old, work, you know? Because nobody is going to pay their health bills. So they make it that way, force people. And that's why it says life's desire should never be directed towards sense gratification.
This is organized slavery.
Organized slavery. Actually, you are slaves to your senses. If you do that, if your desire is towards sense, you become slave. And yeah, I mean, because you come to this country and the system is like that, then you are forced into this kind of debt. But you have to see how you can pay it off. Otherwise, your debt will, one day the bank just takes it back, right? They don't care. The whole process is cheating. Because, I tell you what, because the government puts in the money, your taxpayers' money, 800 million or something, they put it back into the housing industry. Who took the money?
The
Why didn't the bankers give it to the common people who can't pay and reduce that rate? Why didn't they do? They don't want. Yeah. So they're all cheaters. Because why? They are also directing towards their sense enjoyment.
Yeah, in year 2010, 10 hedge funders made 250 million each. So it's going somewhere.
Yeah. So basically, what the point is if you have a roof,
be happy
with it. Yeah. Don't buy one house now, then you look at your neighbor's house and say, oh, he has extra room, I should get another house. You know? People do that. I know one devotee, the wife was telling the husband, we need a new house. They were having a decent house, but then they decided to buy a house, big house, upstairs, downstairs, upstairs 4 rooms, downstairs 2 or 3 rooms. So there's only 3 of them at home. So they all live downstairs because they don't want to walk upstairs.
Yeah.
And on top of that, they don't even invite people to come and stay in their house. Sannyasis come, they are like, it's too difficult to take care of sannyasis. So what is the value, right? Useless. Shrama eva hi kevalam. So the statement here is, you should do that which only is enough for your maintenance and so on. One should desire only a healthy life, which is correct, Because if you are healthy, then you can meditate, do service. If you are not healthy, you can't do any service. So therefore, it's not good. Isn't it? Those who are very sick, you cannot do service properly. But if your health is good and you don't do service, then you are actually diseased. Isn't it? Consciously we are diseased because we don't want to do the service.
Gray line, right?
Well,
in the sense it varies for different people, like what is
needed
for the self-preservation.
Basically, you eat and you digest and you sleep and this. Self-preservation means don't die, You don't want people to come and attack you and things like that. Yeah. Harm your body. Nutritious food, yeah.
No, there is a saying that one should take what one needs rather than what, according to the greed. So the needs, some people may say, I need so many houses. But somebody may say, the need is different.
It's again, you have to see it from the proper context, If someone says, I need 5 houses, then you say, can you expand 5 times, Why you need 5 houses? I mean, I'm asking questions like that, right? Why you need 5 houses? Okay, I need to invest, but how much do you need? The same principle Prabhupada says, if you can only eat 2 chapatis, you can only eat 2 chapatis, even if you buy 100 tons of wheat. The guy can only eat 2 chapatis. So, isn't it? But then, this is called hoarding tendency. Atyahara, remember? So when you hoard too much, who suffers? Everybody suffers, including the person who's holding it. Because finally what he'll do? He'll throw those thing into the ground, throw all this food, all gets rotten, right? Remember when you take too much prasadam, you can't eat, you put in the fridge, and then next day another festival, another plate in the fridge. Right? And then you throw. Isn't it? Everybody does that. So hoarding tendency won't help. So people talk like that. You have to know the philosophy to the extent that you can point out to them the fallacy in the understanding. Not that you want to defeat them. We are not here to defeat anybody. But to show the fallacy in their train of thoughts. So they say their needs may differ, but how much do you need? Okay, you can eat 2 chapatis, he may eat 3, but most the other guy can eat 12, that's about it, no? Who can eat a ton of chapatis?
Most of the hoarding is done because of fear of the future.
I understand, but the point is, you should only take that which is you need, right? Ishopanishad. Isn't it? Yeah, if you, yeah. Prabhupada, I think somebody explained. A man will take back the grain and go. So we cause problems actually. Yeah, the hoarding tendency is what causes problems in this world actually. We have this like Amitananda's house, he's using it for preaching, right? So otherwise, what is the point in having such a big house? He doesn't need it. So everyone should think like that, Otherwise, you don't need that big house. If you have four in the family, then you only need, 3 rooms, 2 rooms, maximum, like that.
So Abhilashpa was thinking about a farm community.
Mm.
And we did some research. You can build a home, a 2-bedroom home for $80,000.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we need, really. And moving to that type of lifestyle, nobody will have debt beyond 4-5 years.
Anyway, these are things you all can think about, and you must be ready to go into farm community to work in the farm. How many of you will go in the farm? Be realistic also. Is it? What happens is in some countries they build a farm, everybody goes to the farm and then they drive to the city to work.
At least it's more economical and everybody can be together.
Maybe, but still the intent behind the farm community is not there.
In that case, don't call it
as farm community. Yeah, it's just a community, like Alachua and things like that, just a community. So, anything we do, it has to, shouldn't be directed towards sense gratification. Then you get the principles behind it become more meaningful and attainable also. Right? Animal Farm, right? If you read the book Animal Farm? Well, if you have read, then I can tell you. All the animals revolted against the farmers because they are exploiting them. And so among the animals, the pigs were the most intelligent. So the pigs formed all the organized. Then after a while, the pigs said, we are doing all the work of organizing, so we should have special privileges. So it became like that. And so the social system again get destroyed again. The intent, the good intention that it originally started is no more there because selfishness comes in. Because why? Everything is directed towards sense gratification. Yeah, George Orwell. Yeah.
There is this verse the boy just remembered in the pastime of Vamanadeva.
Mm-hmm.
Bali Maharaj says that I can give you an entire island. Why are you only asking for 3 pieces of land?
Right.
Vamanadeva says because one should be satisfied with whatever he achieved by his previous destiny, for discontent can never bring happiness.
Hmm.
A person who is not self-controlled will not be happy even if possessing the
pleasure. That's true. Very nice. What is the verse number?
8:19:24.
So peg it on to this text 10. So when you read this, you can refer to that and appreciate how Vamanadeva answers very beautifully.
So for that verse, I have a class with Nirvan Pramod who keeps stressing one point. He says, in the previous years in India, in the national scholar talk, satisfaction was the principle of happiness, not getting more things.
Yeah, contented. Be contented. That's the main thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, became gadgets now. Everything is gadgets. The point is, it's not that you can't have sense gratification, but it's meant to be regulated sense gratification. Anything else? Krishna says it is against dharma, right? He says that in the context of karma. 7-11. And then Srila Prabhupada also quotes that, huh? For example, marriage or combination of man with a woman is necessary for progeny, but it is not meant for sense enjoyment. In the absence of voluntary restraint, there is propaganda for family planning, but foolish men do not know that family planning is automatically executed as soon as there is such after absolute truth, which is a fact actually. If you want to go back to Godhead, you don't worry about any of this unnecessary engagement in sense gratification. So he ends up, Prabhupada says, in every sphere of life, therefore the ultimate end must be seeking after the absolute truth. And that sort of engagement will make one happy because he will be less engaged in varieties of sense gratification. And what that absolute truth is explained as follows. So we'll do that Monday, no? 7:30 tomorrow. In the night, evening.
7:30 to 9.
No, but after the week.
After Monday, Wednesday and Friday, we'll have Bhaktiva Gita classes for the Bhaktiva.
So, we'll start this Wednesday?
Yeah.
For the Bhaktiva? Okay.
Our class will go on rest of the days now.
So, ours will be Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday. Saturday, Sunday, we'll keep the same schedule.
Okay.
So, Wednesday, Friday is last of the Gita.
Including your fourth class.
So, you need to pass this message to your group.
You pass on today, sir, and everybody has to pass on. So we'll
keep the same time, right? 7:30 to 9:00.
No, it's the.
I'm telling you, you invite them. How do you come?
It should be in the temple. It should be in the temple.
7:30 to 9:00.
Okay, so okay, we'll talk about it. Because we talk to them. They will gain something. They'll gain
something.
Okay, you make the call, but I think there is.
So, we need to discuss a couple of things. All the teachers who are here, please come.
Huh?
All the teachers.
Yeah, let's talk about it. We can talk about
it.
Huh?
Today evening service.
Yeah, today evening Prabhuji is giving class in Penta. Is Prabhuji giving class in your Friday? No,
Radhika,
all the
Radhika.